into the family through Jesus' precious blood. You tasted of his goodness and his love. He showered you with blessings. He's building you a home. But somehow on your journey, you're standing all alone. You've wandered far from homeland, down paths so dark and cold, in search of all the treasures you could hold. Your freedom brought you bondage, rebellion brought you fear. But Jesus stands behind you, and homeland is so near. Come home, your Father really loves you. Come home, it's where you ought to be. It's a place of peace and comfort, a shelter from the storm. Don't wait another moment, come home. Remember how it used to be when fellowship was sweet, the times we'll spend in worship at his feet. You know it doesn't really matter how long you've been away, just let his Spirit cleanse you and be restored today, today. Come home, your Father really loves you. Come home, it's where you ought to be. It's a place of peace and comfort, a shelter from the storm. Don't wait another moment, come home. For it's a place of peace and comfort, a shelter from the storm. Don't wait another moment, for he stands with arms wide open. Please don't wait another moment. Come home, my child, come home.
All right, thank you for that. We have the handouts tonight, right? Okay, we are after, I think we stopped in June when we started the summer series. We stopped Proverbs, and now we're back in Proverbs. We started Proverbs actually beginning of last year, but we took some time off a couple times, and so we're coming back to it. You say, man, Proverbs, we've been in Proverbs a long time. It's lesson number 39. There's a lot. Proverbs has a lot to say, and it talks much, much about character, okay, character qualities. If you want to be wise, you look at the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs talks about different individuals and characteristics of them. We're going to look at one tonight. And then in both positive and also, negative. But character is very, very, very important. I think we are seeing in our society, character is not in anymore. What we want to do is we want to make people feel good. Guess what? That's fine. But that's not what we're... I'd rather they learn character. Okay? We spoil our little children and they're not prepared for adulthood. And so Proverbs talks about some characteristics that will help us. It's more important who we are than how we feel. And by the way, if you are who you are, you're going to feel pretty good about yourself in a right way, not in a proud way. And so character is vitally important, and we're going to look at what the Bible says. We're not going to just, what sounds good and all the nonsense. We just have a baby society. Well, things didn't go my way. I'm not going to go to school. I'm going to protest. Grow up. Okay, this is America. Okay? And that wouldn't fly. It's just, anyhow. But there's no character. But the Bible talks a lot about character. If we have wisdom, we'll have the character qualities of Christ that he exhibited, because Christ was the Word of God in the flesh, and he was very wise. He followed the Word of God. We said on many occasions that wisdom is ability to take the truth of God and apply it to our life. We've looked at many different types of individuals mentioned. Today we're going to look at the lazy man. Not to try to help us to become that way, because the opposite of lazy is, of course, a diligent, hardworking individual. So those characteristics in a roundabout way promote that. The key words you'll see when you read through Proverbs are slothful, sluggard, slack, okay? They don't use the word anymore, but someone's like, you know, you're a slacker, or you're slacking off. That means they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And Proverbs uses that word. Slothful, though, is very interesting. When we think of slothful, we're thinking of the animal, the sloth. Sloths are slow. They are slow. They sleep 20 hours a day. Okay? I think if you look at them too long, they get tired. They don't do much. They move very, very slow. It takes them up to 1 month just to digest one meal. I probably shouldn't say this, but I read it. They only go to the bathroom once a week. That's lazy. Okay. I guess if you're sleeping 20 hours a day, you don't have time for that. But that's the picture there. You look at a sloth, it's like, that's the picture that Proverbs is trying to portray for us. Somebody has said that there are no lazy people, only unmotivated people. I remember worked at a warehouse, and there was a guy there. He said he was a Christian. I found that out right when I started working there, because I told him I was a Christian. They said, well, if you're a Christian, that guy over there says he's a Christian. He's the laziest guy here. I'm like, I just was trying to tell you I was a Christian. I didn't need to know the backstory. And he was. But I'll tell you what, we would all work, and we worked until every order was filled, and then we could go home. If it was overtime, it was overtime. He was slow all night long, but when we would get in that line to clock out and leave, he was the first one there, and he would hustle out the door to his car to get out of there. It just said he didn't want to have to work, but boy, if he got his own time, he was motivated. But we're just lazy. If you're unmotivated, that's because we have no purpose in life. Many people exhibit lazy tendencies because they were never taught to work as a child. That's why the Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. That's motivational. Okay, hunger motivates, right? I mean, if you need, you'll go find a job. We live in a time where work ethic is gone. It's been replaced with what we call an entitlement mentality. You know where that starts? Parents, and I'll get to the scripture in a minute. This is introduction. It starts when they're little. You give them everything they want. I'm not going to do that. No, I know. It's Jason's birthday today. So tomorrow I'll take him out, and I'm like, all right, let's go to the store, and I'll take him out. What do you want? I'll let him pick. Now, I took Ellie out when it was her birthday, and I like her. She didn't want anything. And I don't do this, but we actually went to Toys R Us. And I'm like, do you want this? And she's like, no. Do you want that? It's like, no. I'm like, sister, you're speaking my language here. And she wanted a doll, and she picked out this doll, and it was actually not very expensive. I'm like, you know, Ellie, get this doll. And this doll, a little bit more. I don't want to be a tightwad grandfather. And I keep showing her. It's like, that's the only one she wanted. I'm like, okay. Now, I felt guilty leaving, so I thought, I should buy her another little toy. So they had a group of all these little, like, I don't know, it was plastic food or something. I don't know what it was. And Emily, like, she'll like that. So I'm like, all right, get something here to go with it. And she didn't want anything. I literally like, well, you're getting something else, all right? Take this. But we all, you know, whatever they want, they get. No. And by the way, I'm all for sometimes getting them something unexpected. You're at the store and you see something, oh, that'd be nice. You know what? I'll get that for you. But I'll tell you when you don't give it to them, when they demand it. You know, even if you're like, I was going to get that for them. I want that. The answer is just no now. It's just no. But that entitlement, we've raised a generation of entitlement. They don't know how to go through tough times. You never tell them no. I don't want to. You know, if they haven't earned a spot, they haven't earned their way, say, something fine arts or something on one of our sports team, mommy and daddy get upset. I just figure if my kid doesn't play, it's because he's not very good. Well, you know, I came to the game, and yeah, I want my boy to play. Your boy stinks. I mean, I don't have to tell you. Or maybe, I don't mean that, but your boy right now, their level is not there. Let them go to practice. By the way, sometimes the parents, and I don't know, they come in, it's like, well, they're a couple years down here, and they're not going to play this year, so I'll put them in next year. You know what? I didn't do very well when they tried to do it on my team. It's like, well, you won't play next year either. Get on the team this year, and you'll get better. And next year, you'll be ready to play. But teach them to try to earn it, to work at it. But I'm getting off here. So what happens when they grow up? Okay, you're going to throw darts. You don't know how to clean the house. Now I know. Our house, it's like my wife has daycare in the morning, and then the grandkids come over. That's our nighttime daycare. And so it's always a fight. But, you know, but listen, it shouldn't be. There shouldn't be garbage laying on the floor. It's just, but we don't even know how. Don't know how to cook. You don't know how to deal with finances. You don't know how to be a responsible adult and take. You pay your bills. You pay them late because that's their problem. No, it isn't. That's your problem. Pay your bills. Okay, so that's introduction. And so Proverbs is trying to help us with this. Proverbs is trying to teach us, here's some things we should do that will help us. And let me say this to be encouraging now that I've been, I'm not. If you just work a little bit and have a little bit of character, do you know you'll have no trouble getting a job and keeping it? You'll be so unique when you're out there in the workforce, they'll say, I want this person. This person I can count on. And so that's the encouragement. So let's look at a couple of things. Number one. I want you to see some conditions of a lazy man. It almost sounds harsh, okay? Or, you know, I should be politically correct, non-diligent. Some conditions of the totally unmotivated individual. Okay. But we'll just use lazy. Lazy, as with any character quality you look at, they will exhibit certain characteristics. They'll be noticeable. There was a guy here many years ago, not here, I wouldn't say this, but he came in and, you know, having trouble, didn't have a job. I don't know if he needed money for something or just needed help with something. So Pastor Esposito, very compassionate, said, okay, come work around here a few hours and we'll help him. I don't know what the situation was. But as I saw the man work around here, I realized why he didn't have a job. We asked him to just power wash. That's, by the way, around, Brother Paul, is that Brother Paul? Where are you at, Brother Paul? Yeah, power wash is his middle name. Power wash. You have the little. It's like the pump that shoots the water out, the air pressure water, and it cleans the garbage off of the sidewalk because we have a lot. We have school here and everything. I come walking in. He's sitting in an old office chair with wheels on it. Power washing. Like, and pushing himself. And I'm like. That is the most ridiculous thing I have ever seen. You ever see guys over here begging for money and they're sitting down? It's like, man, at least if you're going to beg for money, stand up. I'm not going to give money. Come on. Okay, that's not going over very well. But that's our mentality. How little can I put into it? Technically, he was power washing. I don't think he was doing a good job. All right, but what are some conditions of a lazy man? A, he is characterized by not completing a task or a job. He is characterized by not completing a job. Well, look at the verse. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. The picture here is a man that gets up and goes hunting. When you go hunting, you typically, or fishing or something like that, you typically go early. The earlier hours are the better hours. And it takes a lot of work and diligence and patience. And you get out there and you're waiting for the animal. And then when you get an opportunity, bang! Bambi's mother. Okay? Said, I don't think you should go hunting. That's mean. Well, you know what? I get hungry. Okay, if God didn't want us to eat animals, he should not have made them out of meat. But you're going, he's hunting. And by the way, the verse is talking about he roasteth not that which he took in hunting. He was hunting for a purpose. He had the motivation to get up and go catch the animal and get it, but he didn't clean it or roast it, or he wasted it. He didn't have enough energy after he caught it to say, well, you know, by the way, that's not the exciting part. If you're excited about gutting the animal and skinning it, you have some serious issues. Don't come around me with a knife. Okay, the fun part is getting out there. And look, I don't like to eat fish. Now, I totally am in on catching them. Okay, I want to be a fish's worst nightmare. You say, well, you don't eat them. You catch and release. No, I catch and give them to somebody else to eat. What's the purpose of that? But I don't want to clean them or anything like that. Not that I'm lazy. It's just that I ain't going to eat it anyhow, so I'll let someone else do that. But that's the picture. He went hunting. He caught the animal, but he didn't roast it. He didn't follow through on it. That's the problem. That's the picture. It's an attitude problem. Lazy people don't see completion as important. See, look, there's always an excitement phase to anything, right? But the diligent phase says, got to finish what we started. Lazy man is a good starter. We saw that here. He just doesn't finish. He soon loses interest. There's too much effort to finish it. By the way, don't let your kids start something and then quit. My little bunny Fufu got on the, cheerleading team. We don't have one, so I'll say that. My little bunny Fufu got on the cheerleading team, and she doesn't think she's cheered enough. She's going to quit. Finish the year out, and then don't come back. But you don't quit. If you decide you don't want to be a cheerleader later, but you got on that team, you made a commitment, don't you dare quit. And by the way, parents, we let them off on this stuff way too easy. Okay, help them. Say, you know what? There's nothing wrong if you don't want to be it next year, but you should have thought of that before you got in. Well, I just thought it'd be fun. You know, I wanted to grab the pom-poms and jump up and down and say, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8, you were good, but we were great. Okay, that's not the part of it. But we have to practice. Yes, Allen Iverson. We're talking about practice. Yeah, that we have to actually work at it. Yes, you have to work at it. You should have thought of that before you got involved. But once you get involved, complete it. The next year, if you don't want to do it, but that's what we do. We just don't want to finish what we start. The diligent man doesn't do that. That which he worked for is important. The finish is just as important as starting. A lot of people are great starters and horrible finishers. I read a book one time on character many years ago. And the introduction said, the sad thing about this book on character, a lot of people will start reading it and they will never finish. And I thought, that's a good truth, and I didn't read the rest of the book. I figured I got everything I needed out of it. Just kidding. Now, I'm not saying, because sometimes I'll start a book and it's like, this is awful. Why in the world did I buy this thing and I ain't going to waste my time with it? But that's it. Most of it, we want to start. Oh, we're excited. Okay. Oh, wow, this is way too much like work. I know. But you committed to yourself, so you just finish it. Okay? Letter B. He is a detriment. He is a detriment. Proverbs 18 and verse 9. He that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. Waster means destroyer. God compares a lazy man in his work because of his wastefulness to somebody who is destructive. Why is he a detriment? Well, it's because he's wasteful. What is he doing when he's at work, but he is being a waster at work? He's wasting time. Well, I'm still getting paid. You're wasting your boss's time. Okay? You get paid, get to work. That's all. Work when you're supposed to be working. He's wasting money. I've read the statistics before, and I don't want to bore you with them, but how many millions upon millions of dollars is wasted in the workplace on people not doing their job when they're supposed to be working? Okay, you owe it to your boss to do that. Well, you say, well, that guy over there, he gets paid the same as me and he doesn't work. God's not worried about his character. God's worried about yours. God's worried about my character. By the way, if you work in a union sometimes or you work anywhere, unless a boss is checking up on you, that happens. Several weeks ago on a Sunday night, we had to run some errands, and so I was hungry, and the girls wanted to go to Trader Joe's. So I'm like, you go to Trader Joe's. I went to Subway. I go to Subway, and there's one lady working there. There was quite a line, and she was doing the best she could. Now, she shouldn't have said this publicly, but she did. She says, yeah, my coworker took off for a break and has been gone for an hour. Like, okay, well, thanks for sharing. I'm like, hey, I know you're doing your best. I'm not getting on you. Keep at it. Then once I got the sandwich, the girl came in. She goes, where you been? The girl went in, break, clocked out, left. Like, I guess she needed a break so she would have enough energy to leave. Okay, on her phone. By the way, I'll throw this in. It's not in the Bible. It's just a good thought. Don't be on your phone when you're supposed to be working. Unless your phone is part of your working. Right? Okay. Oh, that text is important. No, it's not. You're getting a paycheck. Hey, well, hold on a second. Okay, good. No, that's your job. Get to work. Okay, they're not being, but that's my right. You have no right to be on your cell phone during these hours. Your boss owns those hours. I'm not going to have any friends tonight. And you know what else you're wasting? You're wasting effort. I have found that when you're at work, if you work, time goes by a lot better. You're more fulfilled. Okay? Well, I'm getting paid the same. That guy over there is just like, he's daydreaming. He's got no clue what's going on in life. But if you signed up for a job, do it. You know God hates waste. Jesus did many, many miracles. If you read through the four Gospels, you'll read the many miracles. Some of them are mentioned in only one of the Gospels. Some are mentioned in two. Some are mentioned in three. Do you know there's only one that's mentioned in all four Gospels? That's the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus took, I think that was 2 fish and 5 loaves. I would have just ate the bread personally myself. But two fish and 5 loaves, he fed them all. And then what did he have them do at the end? Collect up the fragments. Now think about that. Why was Jesus doing that? I think he was teaching them, don't be wasteful. We didn't have anything to start with. Let's take care of everything we have. And what I did here, I'm not always going to do, is don't expect everything to be easy. Okay? But it's interesting that in that miracle, they mentioned, hey, pick up those fragments. Let's not be wasteful. And a person who is slothful in his work is very, very wasteful. Laziness is not just shown when we don't work. It is shown when we have a job and we're at work, but we're not working at work. I have a job. I'm not one of these guys that doesn't have a job, but are you working on the job? How many people have perfected the job of looking busy while doing as little as possible? Now, I know if you're a security guard and you don't have one of these ones where you're driving around all the time, that can be a challenge, all right? Anybody ever do security? It's like, we used to do it at McCormick Center. And what was your job? Okay, it was in the middle of the night to sit there and watch a door that nobody ever broke into. And so we sat there. And, you know, the middle of the night, especially when you're a college student, going to college full time, you get that, I used to call it the midnight buzzing in your ears. You know what I'm talking about? Now, that was not very exciting. But I guess if you want to sit around on a job, find that kind of job. There's nothing wrong with that. That's got to be done. But listen, what you're supposed to be doing, do it. It is especially disgraceful for a Christian to be on the job and not work. Look at Colossians there. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service. Is my boss watching me? Because when he watches me, I kick it into high gear. I mean, I do everything when the boss is watching. As men pleasers, my goal is to make him happy. or just please him, to put it over on him so he doesn't know. But in singleness of heart, fearing God. Why? And whatsoever you do, do it what? What's the next word? Heartily. As to the Lord and not unto men. Now, how can we avoid this type of mentality? Realize the value of work. Okay? If you're going to give your time to it, your time is valuable. If you're going to sign up for the job, give the effort. And really, think of the value, first and foremost, really, as a Christian. How many of you have ever worked somewhere, hopefully you let them know you're a Christian, and they know you're a Christian, and they'll usually say things to you, but they've come up and complained about another person who's a Christian. Anybody ever hear that? Okay. If not, maybe you're not working hard enough for them to think about that. You're the one they're complaining about to somebody else, all right? I've heard it all the time. You know, we worked at a place, they called us hallelujahs. And every time a hallelujah didn't do something you're supposed to do, they come to me, oh, man, your hallelujah back there didn't do this. I'm like, oh, I'm not the Pope. Okay, I don't know you're telling me that. But let's be a good testimony to the best of our ability. Our work should be the same whether our boss is standing over our shoulder or not. Let me ask you. Let me just ask you this, and we'll move on to the next point. In your job, if your boss looks at you, your company looks at you, do you add value to your job? In other words, whatever you get paid, whether you get $30,000 a year, $40,000 a year, $100,000 a year, where you work, would they look at you and say, what you produce and what you bring to this company is at least as much, if not more, than what we're paying you? Think about that. By the way, can I just tell you something? The dirty little secret here, that's how companies think. I'm just telling you. So, no, they're hateful because they have, no, they're not. If they have to make money in order to hire employees, I don't know if you know that, but they look at an employee and say, here's how much I've got slotted, and you factor in workman's comp, you factor in insurance and those things, they're going to look at you and say, this position, I need somebody that brings that much productivity to the job. By the way, you want a raise? Produce more than that. They're not dumb. This person's doing the job. I want to keep them. Don't waste your time. Okay? Letter C. We're looking at the lazy. Adversity or opposition easily stops them. Easily stops them. Proverbs 22:13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Now, I'm not sure if they had a lion problem in the main cities of Israel. I'm guessing maybe they didn't. Okay? That's just an excuse. I don't want to get started in the first place. So if I go out, a lion's going to eat me. Now, this is the ridiculous. He's given us a picture. If you want to test your laziness, if you want to test your diligence, here's the question that's asked of you. What does it take to stop you? What does it take to stop you? Again, I keep going back to children because this is where it starts. The smallest little thing, they come whining about their teacher, so you run to the school, you chew the teacher out. You are creating a little, I was going to say socialist, but that's too strong. You're creating a little whiner. You're creating a kid that's going to live in a little boy that's going to live in your basement until he's 50. Has to run. Mommy's got to do all his bidding for him. I ain't doing it for him. Pay their bills. Let them pay their own bills. Let them learn this stuff. But every little tiny thing, we fix it for them. You know, sometimes adversity is good for them. Okay? Now, I'm not saying if you feel something's wrong with the school, quietly go ask the teacher and find out the real story. Work with the teacher on it. Well, little Oswald, I feel that. I feel that they were mean to me. Get an A on the next one. Fight through this thing. I'm thankful, and I wasn't even saved. I was, believe it or not, in junior high, I was an A student. Now, they had a conduct honor roll, too. And they had two honor rolls. They had the academic honor roll, and they had the conduct honor roll. I always made the academic honor roll. All the nerds, there we were. I wasn't even a nerd. And then they would take our picture, you know, 100 of us. They say, okay, next picture of those of you on conduct honor roll. I was the only one that left. Okay? But I had a teacher in ninth grade, and it was a first period class, and I was messing around a little too much and missing, and just I took it for granted, and I got an F. And I went to him, you know, like, I deserve that. He goes, you know, you work on your grade. So I work crazy to catch up, and I should have had an A that second semester, that second. It was four quarters. I should have had an A that quarter. He didn't give me one. He gave me a C. And I figured out later what I was doing. I'm like, man, I know I got an A. And then I worked hard that third, and instead of giving me that A, he gave me a B. Now the last quarter he gave me an A. You know what he was doing? He was trying to teach me a lesson. I don't remember his name. Good man. He was the former at that time. He was the mayor of Seal Beach. But he was trying to teach me a lesson. Like, you messed up, and I'm going to give you your grade, but you're going to earn it over the long term. And you know what? I'm glad he did that. And I remember that. Then I got to high school, and I don't remember much of anything. But you know, look, we try to make it easy. Adversity sometimes is good. Yeah. I mentioned the thing about team. Listen to the kid. You know, I'm not playing enough. You know, hey, why don't we practice a little more? You listen to what the coach says? If the coach says, run through a wall, run through a wall. If he says, hey, I need someone to go get the water, go get the water. Coaches are human. They'll see you putting effort in. But fight through adversity. But we look for, oh, there's a lion. I'm going to leave. Adversity is avoided at all cost. Here's a verse that ought to rebuke us. Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Let me translate that. God says if you quit because things get tough, you're weak. That's exactly what it says. If you faint, quit, in the day of adversity, when things are tough, thy strength is small. What does that mean when your strength is small? You're weak. That's a rebuke. I don't want to be weak. Now you may not make it through and it may be tough, but you know what? Let's give it our best. Let's not look for excuses. Letter D. They are always looking for excuses. Now, this is the same verse in a different passage. This is Proverbs 26. The slothful man saith without, there is a lion without, a lion in the streets. Same as the last verse, but a lot of times we're just looking for excuses. What if his excuse was true? What if there is a lion in the street? Then it needs to be dealt with. If you got somewhere to be there. But maybe it's just a lame excuse. We do that. Heard a story about a hobo. He stopped in Denver. He thought, the people in Denver will be compassionate. I'll just ask them and they'll give me what I need. And he kept talking to people and no one gave him what he needed. They all told him the same thing. So he got to leave and someone asked him, how was Denver? He said, it was horrible. There's nothing but lazy people there. They expected me to do their work for them. No, what they were saying is, you want something to eat, get to work. Always excuses. A lazy person is good at finding excuses. Will you ever ask your children to go get something? Hey, go find this for me. Couldn't find it. Right? How many of you ever heard that? Come on. No, by the way, they didn't look. So what happens, okay? Here's what we do. Okay, would you like daddy to go find it? Because if daddy goes and finds it, you're in trouble. You know, I think I'll take another shot at it. You know, always pushing everything off. Remember one time I had a piece of trash and Jessica was next to me. I think Emily was like 4. I said, hey, Jessica, throw this away for me. So she saw Emily there. You know, 4-year-old, they know where the trash can is. I say, hey, Emily, go throw this away. Emily comes over to me and says, daddy, can you throw this away? I'm like, I should have just done it in the first place, okay? It's like, forget it. That's delegation, though. Give them credit. But we look for excuses. This person makes excuses because of one reason, really. They just don't want to work. I don't know if I think I told this in my Sunday school class, but two buddies were walking by a sign, by a store, and there was a sign that said, no help wanted. The guy told his buddy, you should go apply for that job. You'd be perfect. We just don't want to work. God doesn't accept excuses. We need to understand that. Look at these verses here in Luke. Jesus is giving a story, a parable here. Then he said unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. He invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, those that were invited, come, all things are now ready. Hey, supper, you've been invited, food's on, let's go. And he sent his servant at supper to get them. Verse 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. They just didn't want to go. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Who would buy a property without seeing it? That doesn't even make sense. Yeah, I already paid the money for it. I'm going to go check it out. That doesn't make sense. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Yeah, I bought these animals that are going to work on my farm. I want to see if they actually work. How many of you would buy a used car without at least looking at the engine or turning it on? Okay, that is not a valid excuse. They're just making excuses. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. That's legit. Okay, that is 100% spot on. What's the point? 2 out of 3 excuses are not valid. Okay, no, that's an excuse too. He blamed it on, he's like, it's the old lady. By the way, don't call her an old lady or else you'll find out that doesn't work very well. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house began being angry, said to the servant, go quickly in the streets, lame city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. The point is, excuses are just excuses. That's all they are. We're so quick to make excuses when there's something we don't want to do. You know, it's amazing. People miss all kinds of services because they're sick. Let's apply this to the church. We'll pray and we'll go home, all right? But they never miss a day of work. They'll miss 10 Sundays a year because they're sick. It's like, how many work days did you miss because you were sick? None. I guess you have the mysterious Sunday blues, right? We just didn't want to come. They miss Sunday morning because they're sick, and then they're at the mall in the afternoon. I read a story of this pastor, and this true story, he said that when he moved to the city, the pastor, they moved to the neighborhood, there was a couple little girls that lived next door, so his daughters asked the family if the little girls could come with them to church, and they came with them, they really liked it, and so they came pretty regularly, and he tried to invite his neighbor to come to church, but, you know, the husband, the wife didn't really want to come. So one time they were coming home from church, in a few weeks there was going to be a Christmas program, and so he asked the little girl, he goes, you think your dad will be able to come to watch you to see in the Christmas program? And the little girl didn't even hesitate. She said, I'm pretty sure he'll be sick that Sunday. Okay, excuses. We all make excuses, and we should not. Don't allow excuses. Here's some, and we'll be done. I would be a better Christian, but, well, what's the reason you're not? Well, somebody offended me, or this happened, or that happened. No, you're not a better Christian because you don't want to be. Right. Amen. Don't allow someone to keep you from that. I would be a better husband, but you don't know my wife. I know, but I know you, so I know half the problem, okay? There's always a reason. I'd be a better wife, but my husband's a knucklehead. Actually, that one's pretty legit, too. I would be a better son or daughter, but you don't understand. I would be a better employee, but my boss is mean. So what? You get a paycheck, okay? Maybe if you helped your boss instead of constantly hindered him, and I know some bosses are just, I get it. They bring their problems to work. The point is, don't make excuses for things, okay? And let's stop right there. Let's pray.